weekdays from 4.
105 Drive with Julian Clover.
Seeing you home.
Now, as part of our build-up to the Eurovision Song Contest, Lee Chambers has met with Ing-Marie Hulling. She is the curator of Stockholm's ABBA Museum.
So, thank you, Ing-Marie, for talking to us. This is a busy time for the ABBA Museum.
It is, but, you know, this whole season from now and until August, September is a busy season.
How many visitors a year do you have?
We have around 300,000, and since we have been open now exactly 3 years last week, we are up in 1 million now.
1 million people. Yeah. What is the enduring appeal of ABBA, do you think, 1 million people to come here?
Well, I think everyone has their own connection to ABBA. Some have a connection that says crap music. And some just love it because it has been there through their whole upbringing. And then we have this segment, the young people who have listened to Mamma Mia the musical and seen the film. For them, ABBA means something else. But it's still good music, either or.
How did the museum get founded? What was the story behind it?
The story is that there was a woman called Eva Wigenheim Westman who wanted to do an ABBA museum, and she asked Benny, because she met him in a project, his Hotel Rival, and he said, after saying no about 10 times, he said yes, and she started out working with it, and she employed me, and this was 2008. And, you know, it's a complex thing to build a museum in Stockholm, so it took a bit too much financial muscles, more than they had. So they left the project, but they started it. And then now we're finally here, after being on tour a little while, and now building this house and having this.
And how involved are the members of ABBA actually with the museum?
Well, they are involved in different ways. Björn is obviously one of the owners. He and his business partners, two guys, they bought this whole house with hotel and restaurant and the museum. So he's involved in many ways, both creative, out of a creative perspective, but also as a former member of the group. The others are not involved more than that they I can call and ask what they think about this and that, and do you have that little thing still that I can borrow and things like that. So they are involved, and I know they are very proud of the museum, because it reflects their history in a very honest way.
And it's a very fun museum, isn't it? It adopts just the right tone towards the group and their music. Mm.
Absolutely. It is a fun museum, and they have always been very funny, a lot of humour, a lot of laughter, and they have never taken themselves too serious. And that's a key thing, I believe, to success.
And I love all the interactive things that you've got going on here. Mm,
absolutely. We really wanted to do that. And I remember that the members of the group, they said from the beginning, let there be a lot of fun interactives. So the combination between the analog way of telling the story with costumes and items and things, together with the interactive, have been a success for us.
And you can interact with the group themselves, can't you? Can you tell me about the piano and the phone?
Yeah, the phone. We have a red, a beginning of 80s telephone, which has a Skype account in it. So the four members have the number to the phone, and when they feel like it, they can call this phone, and whoever guest, visitor that are standing close gets to talk to them.
And do they call?
Yeah, absolutely. They have called 8 times now. So the other thing is the piano. We have a self-playing piano, which is a very old invention, but still we have a very new one from Yamaha. And Benny has the same kind of piano in his studio. And we all both have a digital box on top of it, connected through internet. So when he wants to play for us in real time, he can just switch on the box and start playing.
And you've got a whole range of exhibits here. What's the exhibit that would surprise most people? What's the fact that maybe people take away that they're not expecting to find out about ABBA?
There is not one specific fact in that sense, but I think to realise that they're very, very basic, down-to-earth people, not glamorous a bit, not a bit. They still do their own cooking at home and do the laundry and, you know, things like that. And that's how it always has been. So maybe people get another view of the group after being here.
And you yourself have, as well as a personal connection to the group, a professional connection to them too.
I'm a trained makeup artist and wig maker from back in the day. So during the 70s, I was working with that, and Frida knew that. So when they were going on their first tour to Australia in 77, she called me and asked if I wanted to come along. And, of course, I accepted gracefully. After that, it was tours in America and US and in Europe, and finally in Japan, the last concert for paying audience.
I saw that 1977 tour, so I would have seen your work.
Where did you see it?
At Wembley.
Wembley. Oh, that is so amazing, to do 5 sold-out concerts at Wembley. No one has done that. I mean, Michael Jackson was obviously going to sell out 02. Before that, no one has done that. Amazing.
And there's lots of rumours and speculation that one day they may reunite. What do you think?
Well, they won't. But still, I think they should. We are many who think they should, not because that you have to do a comeback, more the fact that I think it would be a nice way to end a career, to do a nice unplugged Central Park 4 nights, and then all the money should go to music schools for kids in the third world or something.
I think people are afraid their memories might be destroyed, that, you know, if it wasn't good or for whatever reason.
These persons would not do a bad concert. If they were to do it, it would be really good, and they would rearrange the song so it fits for an older person. And, you know, if Tom Jones can travel around the world and a lot of big bands where the guys are 70, these ones can do it, and they will do it with high standard.
In the entire museum, what's your favourite exhibit?
We have a dressing room like it was on the tours with ABBA, just to show how non-glamorous it is then, when they were touring. I love that because it gives me a lot of feelings from that day. I remember all the things that I had and things like that. That's very personal. But on another level, I think that the Polar Studio is my favourite piece because, you know, when you cut down to the bottom core, it's the music. And that's where the music was made, with all the original instruments and the notes and the stools that the girls were sitting on when they were singing in the studio and things like that. It gives me a lot of good vibes, and it also confirms my view of the importance of making good music.
And your favourite ABBA song?
Well, it's a song that not everyone knows about. It's a song called I Let the Music Speak. I know that both Benny and Frida loves it as well, very much. A good song.
I'm hearing images, I'm seeing songs, no poet has ever. Voices call out to me, straight to my heart, so strange, yet we're so well acquainted. I let the music speak.